Welcome to the Happy Menopause Podcast with me, Jackie Lynch, registered nutritional therapist and founder of the Well Nutrition Clinic, where I specialise in women's health and the menopause. There are so many ways that diet and lifestyle can help to relieve a whole range of menopause symptoms. And my new book, The Happy Menopause, Smart Nutrition to Help You Flourish, is packed with practical nutrition advice to support you through this transition. It's out now and available to order in all the usual places. Join me and my expert guests on a journey through midlife in this podcast and find out how you can have a healthy and happy menopause. Happy New Year, everyone. 2021 was pretty challenging for many of us, and it's good to be turning the page and moving into a new year with all the possibilities that this brings us. January is a great time for transformation and new beginnings, and that's what I want to focus on in this episode. How can we make small changes that can help us to live our best life? I've got just the woman to help us with that. But first, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Linwood Health Foods, who are sponsoring this episode. Regular listeners will know that I'm always talking about the important role of flaxseed in managing menopause symptoms, because it's packed with hormone-balancing plant compounds called lignans. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Menoligna, which joins Linwood's excellent range of premium seed blends. Specifically designed to support women during the menopause, Menoligna is a functional food that combines sprouted milled flaxseed and milled chia seeds and has added vitamins B6 and B12 to support hormone regulation and energy levels. It's also rich in a bone-friendly combination of calcium, vitamin D and vitamin K2. Just 30 grams a day added to your morning cereal, smoothie or a salad could make all the difference to you and your menopause. It's exclusively available on www.linwoodshealthfoods.com and you can use the discount code JACKIE20 for 20% off all Linwood's products plus free UK delivery. And so on to today's episode. I'm delighted to introduce Tracy Acock, who's a life coach and mentor. After a lifetime of cancer nursing, she went back to her roots and retired to Cornwall. But then she realised that she wasn't quite ready to stop, and so she retrained as a life coach and now runs the Wellbeing Wisdom Club, a highly successful coaching programme helping women discover tips and techniques to transform themselves and get the best out of their life. Her clinical and life experience, combined with her coaching expertise, makes her the perfect person to advise us on how to make a positive start to this new year. Welcome to the Happy Menopause, Tracy.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much for asking me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on board, and I can't wait to hear what you've got to say, because I think we need lots of great inspiration so we can transform ourselves as we move into the new year. But before we get into all of that, tell us your story. You know, what's your background and how did it lead to where you are now?
Well, actually, I suppose it is a bit of a transformation on its own, really, because I was a cancer nurse in breast cancer specifically for many years. I didn't actually start at the kind of, you know, those social construct of timelines either. I was a late starter, so I'm definitely a late bloomer, I think, in all ways.
What do you mean? You mean you didn't go into nursing straight away from school?
No. I was actually 34. I'd started a social science degree as a single mum, never really knew what I wanted to do. I was a single parent with two small boys. I was really into psychology, which has literally come through all of the rest of my life. And at that point, believe it or not, there was a waiting list for nursing entries. My name was on it here in Cornwall. And then all of a sudden, I had to do, you know, different hoops to get through. But yeah, I got a place on a nursing degree course.
Right.
Yeah, at 34.
And how was that?
It was exciting but very scary, and there were lots of things to navigate on a practical level with shifts and two small boys, etc. But this is how things evolve, how life opens up for us, isn't it, in ways that we don't expect.
Yes, I think it's always really important to recognise that life isn't linear, that it can take you in lots of different directions. And firstly, it really doesn't matter if you don't know what you want to do. There is a sense that we need to know what we want, and sometimes we don't, and that's okay too. So, you know, the fact that life sort of eventually put you in that direction is probably what was meant to happen at some point.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Did you find it challenging? Because I imagine that a lot of the rest of the people on the course were younger than you.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's been proven to me in lots of times during my life, actually, that yes, the things that we think are the things that can hold us back are actually the things that can propel us forward. And in actual fact, I wasn't the oldest, but the people that were younger just didn't really have perhaps the same level of skills in terms of multitasking, you know. So, you know, as a mum with kids and all the things, I was just very disciplined. I loved the training, actually. And so it didn't hold me back at all.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I came into nutrition as a second career. And one of the things I found really valuable in my work as a clinician, actually, is the fact that I do have this life experience, so that when I'm talking to patients about things that are going on in their lives, I've perhaps got more awareness of what the implications of that would be, because I've lived through things myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So what drew you into cancer nursing in particular as a specialism?
Well, again, I can't say, you know, being really truthful, it wasn't something I didn't have a burning desire beforehand to do that. An opening came up on a ward, a busy cancer, generalist cancer ward. And honestly, I was like a sponge. I learned so much. I loved it. And it took me then onto more specialist type roles. But as we've both said, sometimes it is just about taking that first step. And you learn this, you know, but it's just being comfortable with the fact that you can't see the end point.
And did you stay then in cancer care throughout your nursing career?
Yeah, literally. I ran a chemotherapy unit, actually, with obviously other team members. So giving chemotherapy for all cancers. But then I got a job as a specialist breast cancer, at that point for primary breast cancer. So if you like, you know, supporting women in their diagnosis and through surgical options and all of it. And then I, of course, I had my chemotherapy background to bring to that role. But then I also worked in this breast screening, so the kind of health promotion angle, so literally from the beginning of the, if you like, the cancer experience. And then my last role was genuinely, I've talked about this before, but a role that actually changed me, I think, as well. It was the most challenging yet fulfilling role, which was women with secondary breast cancer.
Right. And can you explain what secondary breast cancer is?
Primary breast cancer, if you like, as an answer to your question, is when the cancer is within the breast only, sometimes within the lymph nodes. But secondary breast cancer is when it's moved to other areas of the body. So, for example, bones, liver, lungs, or brain. And at that point, it's deemed incurable. But these women can live for many years. Literally, their lives are roller coasters of treatments. Yeah, I was in my mid-50s when I got that role.
Must have been quite intense in its way.
Yeah, for sure. And it's something I'll never forget. To be honest, that, you know, the women were just amazing. Their courage and, well, everything. We set up a group, a living with secondary breast cancer group with our breast cancer care, which is now Breast Cancer Now. It became one of the most popular in the UK, well attended, I should say. A big job, but it began to tell a bit on my soul, to be honest. And
Yeah, I can imagine, absolutely. So where were you at that point? Because I think you perhaps left Cornwall by then.
Yeah, I've gone a bit of a full 360 degree circle, actually. But basically, I was born in Cornwall, proper Cornish, as we say, moved away to Dorset. So I did start my nursing career here in Cornwall, but I moved to Dorset and stayed there for, you know, 20 odd years. And so it was really when I retired from my nursing. It was an early retirement, but I felt it was time for all the right reasons. My mum's here in Cornwall on her own. So we came back to Cornwall, if you like.
Yeah. Right. Came back home.
Yes.
And so having done all of that wonderful support for people through your nursing career, what prompted you to move into life coaching?
Yeah, golly. Well, again, you know, there's a saying, you know, just start. And, you know, often we think we have to be motivated to take action, but it's actually the other way around. Take action and you'll find motivation. I essentially started a blog. I really, through Instagram, I just started sharing bits of my story, which at that point I was really into weight training. Resistance training, strength right. training, whatever you want to call it. And I had in Dorset, you know, I was still in my blue uniform. I would go to the gym at 6 a.m. when it opened and then go on to work. And when we first came back to Cornwall, I was still doing a lot of that. So I was sharing my journey through Instagram, and women started contacting me saying, you know, I think it was that thing, wow, if she can do it at that age, maybe so could I. And I started a blog, and then the blog became a website. This is cutting out lots of, you know, highs and lows in between.
Of course.
But I realized that so many women were contacting me. And to be honest, Jackie, I still had an energy for, I needed a purpose. That's the truth of it. And that's something that I love to talk to women about now.
Yes, and I suspect that having come from that background, particularly the most recent of those jobs, you'll have seen a lot of life, you'll have seen a lot of very different experiences. And I think that perhaps you would have wanted, or certainly it would have been useful to be able to share those and actually share that wisdom, as it were.
Yes, for sure. So although I didn't really know exactly how I was going to, I wanted to make a difference, as cheesy as that sounded, and I just felt I could in some way. And so, yeah, I went away and more study to add to my other years and courses and qualifications. And it just felt like a really good mix to be able to support, help, encourage women in a different way.
Starting with you, because of course it was this big move back home, what changes did you make to your own approach to life? Was there anything you picked up on in the studying that you did that made you change things?
I think it was following that, really. Of course, once we were in lockdown, I felt that for me personally, then I'd started some what I call morning routines. So my morning miracles, small habits that actually became, you know, really integral to how I started my day, how I saw life. And these were just really small steps that, even with the busy lives that we all have, whether it's small children or, you know, busy jobs, it's small steps that we could actually just start the day in the best way with the best kind of energy, really.
So what sort of small steps?
So I was definitely somebody that, if you'd said to me, oh, you really need to meditate, you've got a very busy mind, I would have said, no way, I don't want to sit there, I've got all these thoughts, blah, blah. But actually, I've found ways, if you just, you know, even with a guided meditation for 5 minutes, we can be busy doing, but we need to sometimes be. And it's creating a space in our minds that allows some thoughts to come in of what it is that does matter to us, actually. And so I just a 5 minute meditation, and I also really love journaling, which is essentially allowing some of those busy thoughts to flow from your subconscious onto the page and effectively let them go.
So you mentioned lockdown a minute ago. Did lockdown come in very soon after your move then?
The following year, I guess, but it was a few months. That's just a few months, and we'd started to hear the whispers of it. We got caught up in the housing crisis, and that is all a whole other podcast episode, to be honest. But yeah, it was a very stressful time for everybody. Everyone's got a story. But essentially, I really stopped the actual weight training and bring it back to specifics, but I started to go into the sea. And so this is something else that I talk about, cold water therapy. I it really got me through going into the sea. I've lived by the sea all my life, really, but I used to stop going in the water like at the end of the summer. That was it till the following year. But
not unreasonable.
Exactly. But then I thought one day, oh God, it's down the road. I just, you know, and we were lonely and all the things. And honestly, it just became such a, like a best friend to me. I wrote a blog about it, actually. It was the friend I never knew I had.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because, of course, it must have been very tough. You make this big move back to Cornwall and then lockdown kicks in and you can't reach out, create a community. You're just sort of stuck in an environment that isn't familiar.
And to be honest, my sons are still in Dorset. And although they're grown up and, of course, they have their lives, yeah, that was I really did need. And we, you know, we all need some sort of community. And, yeah, so anyway, at that point, getting into the sea, meeting other women doing the same thing, I feel really, really grateful about that, actually.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And of course, there is so much research around the benefits of cold water, open water swimming. And I know that wild swimming has become a real thing over the past year, which is great because we're all getting back into connection with nature.
Absolutely.
Which is brilliant.
And it's one of my messages, to be honest. And I, yeah, equally thinking about the people maybe listening that don't live anywhere by the sea, you know, as an alternative, there's cold showers. And if you've never done it before, have an open mind, like all of these things. Just a quick blast at the end of your normal shower, it still releases the same endorphins. It can still have that potential boost to your immunity and still be really good for your emotional health too.
It absolutely can. But also, I mean, if you do want to be getting out there are lots of lakes and rivers which are set up. I think there are all manner now of books and websites which advise on places where you
Absolutely.
Can do safe open water swimming
Absolutely.
As well. So I think take a look at that. I know I have a friend who regularly goes to a local lake and it's fantastic because you're outside as well. You're getting the fresh air and the energy that nature can bring you. So that's brilliant. Now, tell me this, because obviously, you know, in your new role as a life coach, which I'm sure is massively benefited by your excellent experience over the years with the nursing, what do you think are the biggest challenges for women in midlife? And are there any recurring patterns that you see when you're working with your clients?
Oh, goodness, yes. When we get to that, and of course, it's, you know, where does it start and end? But these middle years, if you like, I think our confidence goes down with our estrogen. That's the way I've, you know, kind of always seen it, to be honest with you. And with along with that, it's like a perfect storm of hormones, you know, life events such as, you know, perhaps your kids leaving home or aging unwell parents, you know. And I think there's that's one of the biggest things that I see all this time, that the feeling that women often have a niggling feeling that life, they're missing out somehow, that they're like, that there's something else to their lives, that perhaps their life is just on autopilot and they're just like the passenger in the driving seat of their own life. And it can be.
And what do you say to women who are struggling with that feeling?
Well, my message is, and I'm proof of the pudding, I suppose, you know, it's just never too late. And I think if you can just hold on to that, you know, that it's small steps forward, but the first step is just, perhaps sometimes it is reaching out to somebody else, but there is always hope. Then you can always change things. You know, ask yourself, is this thought really true or is it a story I'm telling myself? And often it's something that we've carried along with us that, you know, the beliefs that I couldn't do that, I'm too old. You know, what is the story that you're telling yourself? And there will be a way forward for sure.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I think that inner voice that we all know really can hold us back, whether it's saying you're not good enough, you can't do that, you're too old, you're too fat, you're too unfit, you're not clever enough. That we aren't kind to ourselves, are we, I think, as women?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. And I've just done a workshop on that very thing. So, you know, the term self-love, if I flip it back to what you were just saying, you know, I like to call it the shitty committee, if I'm allowed to say, you know, the inner, that voice, the mean voice that says all the things you just said. But if ask yourself, you know, would you say that to a friend? Would you talk like that to a friend? And if the answer is no, then don't say it to yourself. But the first thing is noticing the way that you speak to yourself. And there's some, you know, self-acceptance, really, that often we can look at life through a bit of a lens of, you know, our flaws, our perceived flaws. Perhaps we're carrying those negative emotions like guilt, shame, regret that can hold us back. But sometimes it's just unlocking that and letting go of that to be able to move forward, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And of course, I think it becomes much more in sharp focus as we move through the menopause, because with the drop of the reproductive hormones, which have been driving everything, driving our motivations throughout life, really, since puberty, suddenly there's headspace. And that headspace can, I think, at times feel frightening, because suddenly you are asking questions of yourself and thinking, well, what am I doing with my life? Am I in the right place? Am I in the right job? Am I in the right relationship? And suddenly that time to reflect is a bit daunting, I think.
For sure. I mean, often we've never looked inside. It's easier not to, let's face it, most of the time. We just keep doing the things.
Yeah.
The days keep going by, which turn into months and years. And so the thing is, you know, we're often in a comfort zone. It may not feel comfortable, but we're in a comfort zone. We do what we know. We do what feels familiar. When we're asking ourselves, is this really it? Is this all there is? It can feel uncomfortable at first, but through discomfort, there's growth. I always think back to, you know, we used to talk about growing pains, kids having growing pains, but we're growing. And that's this kind of process of, you know, maybe sometimes looking inwards a bit and asking those questions.
Yeah. So if we want to change the narrative around our life, what I like about what you said is that it can be small steps. We don't suddenly need to throw the baby out with the bathwater and, you know, leave our families, leave our homes, leave our jobs. No. You can just make small changes, and that can make a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, in the morning miracles that I talk about in my program, I mean, first of all, it has to be small, achievable steps. And I say to my clients, it's the smallest step that doesn't even feel like it's a step, because we can overface ourselves. You know, so it could be just, as I said to you just now, 5 minutes of meditation, or literally a walk around the block, or a 5 minute jump up and down, which sounds so ridiculous, but we're setting off positive feel good endorphins, and we're making a pact with ourselves. So what often happens is, in this time of life, we can just be used to being at the bottom of the priority list, and then we actually don't remember. We're so used to being the role of carer, mother, all of them, that we forget who we are. And so it's by, if we literally schedule in time for us, like, you know, like meeting you today, if we schedule in the time, it's almost like we're making a pact with ourselves that you're important. Yes, you do matter. Yes, you can cause 5 minutes to do that. Yes. And then what actually happens is if you are in a family, you know, family household, you're starting to then show the people that love you, care about you, that yes, you can, you know, we can all take time for ourselves. So you end up becoming a bit of a role model in that way too.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. It's something I talk about a lot, this notion of really taking care of yourself going through the menopause. Because when we're looking at, you know, if you do have teenage children, you're doing everything you can to look after them. You will be making sure that they're eating right, sleeping right, getting fresh air, getting exercise, not overburdening themselves, because you know what a huge transition puberty is. And menopause, it's bigger and lasts way longer than puberty. And we don't usually have anyone running around after us doing all those things. So we've got to take that step of being kind to ourselves, because it really will make all the difference to the way you feel, from your physical symptoms such as the hot flushes and fatigue, through to the very debilitating emotional symptoms such as the anxiety, the loss of confidence, and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anxiety, that there's a thread. Almost every person I come into contact with, there's an element of anxiety or stress. And so it's the world we live in. And of course, as we've said, you know, the time of life that we're in too, put those together and it's no wonder that we often need a bit of help to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that sometimes women just need to give themselves permission. And one of the ways I sometimes do that is just to remind them that if everyone else is relying on them, then they need to look after themselves. Yeah. Because quite honestly, if they crack up and they fall ill, then everything else will fall apart too. So sometimes as a first step, I say, you know, if you won't do it for yourself, do it for them.
I've something that I say a lot, and because it's so true, is that, you know, the oxygen mask analogy that I'm sure everybody's heard of, you know, that it's said for a reason. So when we talk about self-love or self-care, it can have like a selfish connotation. But in actual fact, you take care of yourself first because you have to be able to care for those around you, not in a kind of a flippant, you know, overindulgent type of way.
Absolutely. And it isn't indulgence. It really is about looking after your own health and well-being. And of course, it's a perfect time of year to be thinking about that, because we're bang in the middle of our resolutions. It's the new year. We're all hoping that 2022 is going to be just a bit easier than 2021 was. So what advice have you got for women who are really looking for a fresh start at the beginning of this new year?
I think I would say, first of all, it's never too late to change things. So often women say to me, well, it's just too late for me now. That's how it is. I'd like to, you know, ask somebody if they think that, just to reframe it if you can. Just set yourself a very, very small step of making a change in your life, however that feels for you. What I like to ask people, what actually lights you up? You know, what is your thing? I mentioned about getting in the sea. For somebody else, it may be, well, I used to love running, but now I don't even walk a mile. But just something so small that it almost doesn't feel like a step at all. But just set yourself a very, very small goal.
Yeah, so it's about making it achievable as well.
Absolutely.
As joyful.
Yeah, yeah.
Tracy, what do you think are the errors that people can sometimes make around this time of year when it comes to, you know, good resolutions and trying to change things?
I don't necessarily like the idea of resolutions, I have to say, because I think it can just cause an unnecessary pressure. We've got enough around Christmas time as it is, and it can be just then a short-term thing. What we want is something sustainable. So my view is, you know, if we can just have those small steps it's the consistency that brings it, you know, brings routine. So now for me, either, you know, some sort of movement. I have to have movement in my day, and I'm lucky that I have a dog that needs walking, for example. And so if I don't get outside sometime during the day, it's that feeling like I haven't cleaned my teeth, say. So it needs to become just second nature. So find that thing. What is that thing?
Okay, so that's movement. Yeah. What other things could people be thinking about?
I'd love people to really think, one of the first things, so opposite to movement, I really like the concept of stillness. And so I love to recommend people just, you know, have an open mind about meditation. As I said, I was somebody that definitely didn't want to try that. I couldn't sit still. I had this idea it was all about having your legs crossed and, you know, but it can be whatever you want it to be, of course, but literally it's a way of relaxing your mind, bringing calm, reducing anxiety. Now there are studies that shown, you know, MRI brain waves literally have changed in a good way to help memory and all kinds of things, sleep, etc., through meditation. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, you know, needed. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of research around that for sure. And what's quite encouraging is that there are some really good apps out there now that just have 5 minute sessions. So for those of you who are sort of thinking, oh, I don't want to sit down for an hour to meditate, I don't have time, it can be that short, just that 5 minute mindfulness, a little bit of breathing, and the time will have gone really quickly and you'll feel very different after even that short space of time. So I think I love the notion of these sort of small marginal gains. I did Couch to 5K last year, and I have to say that I never thought in a million years I would ever do that. But one of the things that encouraged me was the very first session, you run for a minute. You run for a minute, you walk for a minute, and you repeat that about 7 or 8 times. And when I looked at it, I thought, well, oh, surely I can run for a minute. I mean, the truth is it was a bit harder than I actually expected, but it was a short enough period for me to think, well, you know, I'm not going to stop because it's only a minute. And that was the thing that then gradually, step by step, over a period of weeks, led to me being able to now run 5K without stopping, which I still can't believe I can do. But it's entirely because it started really slowly in a way that someone who was utterly unconfident about running, which was my case, still felt able to do.
And this concept, if you like, can be applied to literally everything that we've talked about. So we've talked about some of the practical things that I talk to women about, but it's also really about, say that you practice mindfulness, meditation, journaling, but it's then the little gaps that open up in those moments of pause in your mind that allow you to think, well, who am I? And, you know, perhaps what else do I need in my life to make me feel more fulfilled? Yes. And so that's where I bring it all together.
Excellent. So your coaching programs then, Tracy, what would people expect if they signed up to one? How would you get started with someone?
So I do have basically two types of ways of working with me. And there is a one-off way, which can be quite specific. It's just an hour. And it might be something like a life audit, where we look at perhaps, you know, a specific area of your life that maybe feels out of balance, or teaching you emotional freedom technique, which is a great way to reduce anxiety and stress and a brilliant self-help tool. My main coaching package is the 6-week More in Midlife program, which actually I tailor it to the individual because, of course, we're all unique. But there can be often women come perhaps carrying, you know, grief, regret, lots of hormone issues. So, you know, there's a bit of a blueprint, lots of things that, you know, can guide women forward over the 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so where can people find you if they'd like to learn more about your programs and the work that you're doing?
So I have a website and I hang about on Instagram quite a bit. You can message me and find me through there.
And so what's your website called?
Wellbeingwisdomclub.com.
And I think it's the same name on Instagram, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately,
rightly.
There's a "the" at the start on Instagram because that name was taken. But yeah, I'm the Wellbeing Wisdom Club, essentially.
Excellent. So I'll put links to all of that in the show notes so that everyone can find you easily.
Brilliant.
So tell me this before we wrap up, because I really could talk to you all day. From all the things you've learned, Tracy, from your years of clinical work, supporting those women through those journeys they've had to make, what would your top 2 tips be for women who are going through the menopause?
Yeah, great question. It's hard to put it down to 2, but I think honestly, the thing that my message is about empowering yourself, really. So, you know, the individual, do your research to find what is going to be the best option for you. So whether that's the HRT route or not, but just empower yourself with finding the right information. So I think that's tip 1. And I think The other thing is, you know, it's never too late. You go to a specialist. You can, it's hard to have to pay if you do that, but just know that if you're in a really difficult situation right now, it doesn't have to stay like that. Who says that we have to struggle through things? It doesn't have to be like that.
And I think your message around it's not too late at any stage in life to change things. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Oh, I'm 62.
Right, and so you've made all these changes in the very recent years.
Yes, I have actually. And I'd started talking about menopause. I like literally squeaked it from behind a sofa, it felt like. And now conversations are changing. And that's because that we're opening the doors then for the women coming behind us. And that's what it's all about for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Tracy, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Oh, you too, Jackie. Thanks for asking me.
I found it very encouraging chatting to Tracy. She's got such a lovely way about her. And it's really good to know that small steps can make such a big difference to your health and well-being. It seems far less daunting that way. So what small change will you be making this week? If you'd like to find out more about Tracy and her work, I've put all the relevant information and links on the show notes, which you'll find on the podcast page of my website, well-well-well.co.uk. Next month, we'll be talking sex, baby. I'm chatting to the brilliant Dr. Claire McCauley, founder of The Pleasure Possibility, and we'll be shining the spotlight on you and your libido. So come and join us for some fantastic advice. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please do leave a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you listen on. And make sure you tell all your friends. It makes a huge difference to the visibility of the podcast and really helps us spread the word. Because every woman deserves to have a happy menopause. Thanks so much for listening. Bye for now.